If you have the bulletin in front of you, I invite you to turn to page 4. Or if you have your Bible there, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 11. There in the bulletin, you'll see a pretty good chunk of the chapter printed out. We're going to hone in on just one section, but I thought it helpful to print out a good chunk of it, the entire section where Paul talks about the Lord's Supper. It's a section of Scripture that we've been studying these past 3 months as we've been coming to the Lord's table. A great time to do it because we're getting back into that regular habit of celebrating the Lord's Supper as a church family. Really trying to remind ourselves what this is all about. And this morning what we're going to do is really focus in on probably what's the most confusing or maybe sometimes even troubling section of this passage, and that's verses 27 to 32. That's the section where Paul talks about our need to examine ourselves. Well, what's that about? Let's read that section and then study it together. So 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 27. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Let's pray together. Father, use your word among us, strengthen, build up, and challenge, Lord, all for the glory of Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen. Amen. So there in verse 28, Paul says, let a person examine himself. It's a command. Paul says, do it. Then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So you get the order. He wants us to come, but he says we have to do something first. Examine ourselves. Okay? So what's that all about? So I thought we'd talk about it together. Try to make it as simple as possible, because I think when you wade through the biblical details, it is fairly simple at the end of the day. So what we get to, and I have it there in your bulletin, is just a series of questions. And that perhaps this would be helpful for us this morning and even in the future, as we approach the Lord's table, here's how to think through examining ourselves so that we can come rightly to the Lord's table. So let's take them one at a time. And as we do, let me just, first of all, give an encouragement to the young people among us, our covenant kids. So kids, I want you to try to pay attention as much as you can this morning as well. Even though many of you haven't professed your faith quite yet, and so you're not going to be taking the Lord's Supper this morning, but one day you're going to, Lord willing, and God really uses these times when the church celebrates the supper, he really uses these times to help you as covenant kids think through what it means to trust in Jesus, what it means to follow him, and so we expect God to use times like this, and so try to think through these questions on your own. How would you answer these? And how would you grow in your faith? And maybe it's a good opportunity to talk to mom and dad later about what this is all about. So you pay attention as well, all of us. Looking first at this first one at the list, which is, do I see the importance of self-examination? Do I see the importance of self-examination? Ask that of yourself, because Paul says, well, first of all, it's something we have to do. Right? He gives it, as we said, a command in that section where Paul says he got all this from Jesus himself. So this is Jesus saying to us, do this, right? Examine ourselves. Okay, so just right there on the face of it, it's important because Jesus said to do it. But there's more we could say. It's important because the Lord's Supper is such a blessing, right? So we want to take it properly. We want to do it the right way, because the Lord's Supper is such a gift to the church. And we'll talk a little bit in a minute about kind of a quick summary, but really this is what we've been studying these last 2 months, trying to remind ourselves of what this supper is and coming back again and again to what a gift God has given to his people. It's a means of grace we like to speak of it, because that's how the Bible presents it. Something God gives to encourage and bless. That it's the Lord speaking His gospel to us and refreshing us and bringing us into communion with the Lord, encouraging our faith and reminding us of what is true. So it's this blessing that God delights to give to us. And so it's out of excitement that we see the importance. Yeah, I got to examine myself so I can then eat and drink. It's that much of a blessing. Paul also presents the flip side. The Lord's Supper is a blessing to those who come properly, but it also, to those who come in the wrong way, can be not a blessing at all. In fact, it can be a source of discipline, even judgment of the Lord. Right? You see that in our section. It's a little bit shocking if you really think through the details. Now, we need to remember Paul is speaking to a very specific situation in the church he's writing to. He's writing to the Corinthian church, a church that's really struggling in a whole lot of ways. But specifically, the Lord's Supper is one of them. If we had time to walk through verses 17 to 22, we can see the details that Paul lays out. Here's the bottom line. The Corinthians, many of them, are coming to church. Now, they're ready to take the Lord's Supper, but in the process of doing it, they're completely ignoring and really humiliating a whole section of the church. It seems like it's the rich and the poor. The rich are showing up, ready to take the Lord's Supper, but in the process, absolutely ignoring and really humiliating the poor among them. And Paul says, yeah, that is not coming the right way, and it's not doing you any good to take the Lord's Supper with that heart. He says, actually, the Lord is disciplining you, right? The way a parent might discipline a child. They're going the wrong way. They need to be turned around. And he says, that's why some of you actually, Corinthians, are ill, weak. Even some have died, right? Now, this is an extreme case. We don't want to overplay it and think that, if you get a cold this week, that's because God is disciplining you. You messed up on Sunday, right? Don't take it too far. But there is something we need to take seriously. It is possible to come to the Lord's Supper, take it, but with the wrong heart. And it doesn't actually do us good. It does us harm. So again, this is why we need to examine ourselves. Okay, we need to keep going. We're not done yet. Don't end there. The next question. Do I understand what the supper is all about? Do I understand what the supper is all about? Verse 28, Paul says, examine yourself. And then he follows that up with verse 29, where he uses the language of discerning the body. This seems to be a key part of examining yourself. It's ability to discern the body. Okay, what does that mean? Well, body there, okay, we need to look in context, go back to where he's used that language previously. That would be verse 24, verse 27. And there, body refers to the body of Jesus, especially as it's connected and represented in the Lord's Supper, in the bread. And so part of what Paul seems to be getting at, a key aspect of coming rightly, is our ability to discern the body, to understand what the supper is all about in the bread and the cup. Not from the standpoint of you become a theological expert in it, right? It's not getting your PhD in order to come, right? Maybe some can write a book on the Lord's Supper. You don't have to come rightly. But do you just understand the basics, the foundations, the kinds of things we've been talking about? And you can ask yourself, right on that very simple level, do I understand what this is all about? Do I see that this isn't just an ordinary meal? And do I understand that God here is bringing the gospel to me in pictures? Do I see that the bread and the cup, though they're ordinary bread and juice, they point beyond themselves to something powerful and holy? Right? They're symbols, emblems of Christ's body, which was really died on the tree, on the cross to rescue us, that his blood really was poured out to cancel guilt, to wash away sin. Do I understand that was all done as a sacrifice for me? Right. So just as the elements here are given to you and you take them in, so that points you immediately to Jesus, given for you, and grabbing a hold of Jesus, you're cleansed and transformed. You're given life, like food gives life to our bodies. Right? So not incredibly complicated details. It's just the foundations of the supper. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? The point is not to keep people from the Lord's Supper. It's just designed to make a pathway, to examine, oh yes, I can see what this is about. I can understand that. Do you understand what the supper is all about? But we build on that. That's not it. Am I receiving and resting on Christ? There's question number three. Am I receiving and resting on Christ? Here's a critical building on the last, right? Understanding what the celebration is all about, but it can't stop there. Because it's not enough just to know the facts of the Lord's Supper. You have to not only know what the elements point to, but you have to be trusting in the Savior they represent. And that's what this question is getting at. Are you not only able to connect this to Jesus, but are you trusting in the Jesus that's connected to this meal? Is he your hope and your trust? Because you could see that you could understand all the details, but miss Jesus. Right? I think of a professor I had in college. Went to a non-Christian school, but as I was getting ready to thinking about seminary, I thought, oh, let me take some classes that are close in the direction of that. And so there was a religion department, and they taught some classes in Bible and Christianity and religion. And so I took a few and had one professor for a couple classes, really, really brilliant guy. And this guy knows more theology than I will ever know. And his expertise was in Christianity. So he was the guy who could write the book on the Lord's Supper, could tell you all the details of the Protestant Reformed view of the Lord's Supper. He could write every detail. But unless I really missed it, and maybe I did, but unless I missed it, it didn't really seem like he was trusting in the Jesus he talked so much about in class. Again, I could have missed it, but that seemed to be the case. That he knew all the facts and knew all the details and could teach it with a smile on his face, but didn't seem to be trusting in the Christ represented. So it's not good enough for you to know the facts of what this is about. You have to be trusting in the Christ that is represented and sealed here. And so the Lord's Supper really brings that home to us. It really is that time as we take and write, is this really me? For me, that is, I'm really trusting in this Savior as my only hope. That I've given up all hope of being good enough in myself. I've abandoned that pipe dream that maybe I could just do enough good things, religious things, and nice good neighbor, good guy things, that would get me cleaned up for God. No, I've come to that point where I've given that up, and my only hope is what Christ did for me, right? His death for me. So it's not complicated, but it is really gets to the heart of spirituality, of our faith. Am I receiving and resting on Christ today and then every day from here on? Right? The goal, again, is not to make it hard to come, but come the right way. You got to be coming trusting in Christ. And the next question, what's listed as the fourth one there, am I grieving and hating sin? Am I grieving and hating sin? This really is the flip side of trusting in Christ. Because biblically, in order to trust Christ, we turn from sin to Jesus. Right? It's repentance and faith. Right? That's the way we really biblically find Christ. Turning from sin and to Him. His call is always, come follow me and leave the old life. And the supper, of course, brings that into focus. Sin and its ugliness, right? Because what we have here is the elements focusing us on the cross. What was needed to rescue us from sin, right? That it really took in the heart plan of God. The only way was for the Son Himself to bear the guilt in His body on the cross. To take that hell that we deserve and pouring out His blood there in our place. That's what it took. Sin is that bad. And we actually just sang of it a few minutes ago. Remember what we sang? Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here at the cross, may view its nature rightly. Here its guilt may estimate. So at the cross, and of course the supper points us directly to the cross, we see the ugliness of sin. So the only really way to come rightly to the table is coming, seeing that sin and hating it and striving to turn from it. It's not, have you given up sin completely? Are you completely, you didn't sin at all this week? That's not the question. It's also not, are you no longer tempted to sin? Not that question either. Because the truth is, as long as we're this side of heaven, we will continue to be tempted and we'll continue to fall from time to time. All right. There is that pressure from outside in a fallen, dark world. And there's the pressure because our hearts are not perfected. There's that pressure from inside. So the fact that we feel some temptation to sin doesn't disqualify us, because if that disqualified us, everyone would be disqualified. Right? It's not as do we feel the pressure, the temptation. It's more, are you striving to fight against the current? You feel the pull of sin, but you're desiring to, you see the ugliness in it, and you're desiring to push against the current, to row against the tide. Right? The one that really warns and cautions to keep away is the one who's not fighting. The one who's just being carried downstream by the storm or by the river, by the current. The one, and maybe this is someone, the one who has not just has sin in their life, but has sin in their life and really has no intention of giving it up. Maybe it's a particular sin is the focus, but instead of fighting against it, you're nurturing it and feeding it. And if you're really honest with yourself, you really don't have any intention of giving it up, right? Maybe sometime in the future, but certainly not today, certainly not anytime soon. You're clinging to it, right? That's where the warning and maybe it's good to stay away from the supper really comes in. The one who's being carried down by the storm. And so the supper is this wake-up call. Wow, I need to think of sin as really the ugly thing that it is. Look at Jesus crucified for sin. But not designed to keep sinners from the table. Right? Right? Those who feel the weight and are struggling see the need of the Savior. Well, here he is. Here he is for you. So am I grieving and hating sin? And then our fifth question, am I receiving the bride as well as the bridegroom? Or as I'm trying to refer to, am I receiving Christ and his church? Here's really the trouble that the Corinthians fell into. All right, this is really the essence of what they struggled with. Right? Again, if we had time, we could walk through 17 to 22 of 1 Corinthians 11. You have these believers there in Corinth, and they're showing up for the Lord's Supper, but in the process of it, they're despising, humiliating a huge section of the church. So you see essentially what they're doing in coming to the Lord's table. They're basically saying, I'll take Jesus, I just don't want his body. I'll take Jesus, I just don't want his church. That's essentially what their hearts are saying. In callously coming to the Lord's table, but rejecting and humiliating part of his body. And what Jesus is saying here, and Paul is saying with the discipline that's being brought out, is Jesus essentially hears that, I'll take you, Jesus, and not the church. And he says, no. That's not what Christianity is about. That's not what faith is about. That's not what the supper is about. In fact, he's been quite clear, going back into chapter 10 and into 11, that this communion we have with the Lord is also a connection with one another. And that's why we take the Lord's Supper not as private individuals in our homes, but we take it as a body here together. And so it's this call that we have to come and realize that to accept Christ is also to welcome his church. Now, it's not doing it perfectly, but it's striving to do it and wrestle through it. Even things like being committed to the local church and membership in the local church. Being committed that, no, I realize I can't be a lone ranger Christian. I have to be connected to the body and seeking to come under the authority of a local part of Christ's church. I know sometimes church membership these days gets messy. Some churches don't even do it, or you're confused about whether you are or were a member. That's, the point is not as much the messiness or a brief period where you're in transition. Those things happen. But more of, are you seeking to welcome the church and be connected to the body? Or is it just, I'm showing up, I'll take Jesus, but I want to be a lone ranger on my own. I don't want the body. And that hardened, I have no intention of connecting, that Paul says, that's the challenge, that's the warning. And it's a similar dynamic as we think about our relationship with individual believers or groups within the church. There can't be any problems with relationships in the church, right? If that were to happen, none of us could come to the Lord's table. There's going to be difficulties, but are we seeking peace? That's actually the language that Paul uses in Romans 10. As he's talking, it seems like he's talking to the church. He says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Right? You can't control what somebody else is doing, but as far as you're concerned, you're seeking to live in peace. You're seeking, if there's a conflict, to try to reconcile it, to forgive, to cover over with love. Why? Because that's a part of the body of Christ, and you can't just write it off. You can't despise it. All right, there's going to be difficulties, but you're seeking, you're desiring that peace. All right, the one that warns and keeps away is the one who nurtures the grudge, the one who stubbornly refuses and says, "Yeah, I'll take Jesus, but yep, not that part of the body." Jesus says, "No, these are connected." These are connected and connected for a blessing, even in the midst of the challenge. So one more question. And this question, I think, really starts to bring things together and end us on what's really the key note as we think through examination. Right? Because that's what these questions are designed to do, to get at that command of Paul, examine yourself and then eat. The questions are designed to examine ourselves and provide the way that we can come and come in a worthy manner. But there is a temptation in it, and many believers have fallen into it, that in the midst of examining, we can, well, put our own standards on it, add our own questions. You see, the questions we had, that they've tried to get at was just the foundations of the gospel, the foundations of what it means to trust in Christ and in some of the details. But we like to add our own, are tempted to add our own. We're tempted to listen to the voice of the enemy. Right? Now, you notice how I put that question there. Who are you giving your answers to? Am I giving my answer to my Savior? Right? In giving these questions, are you giving your answers to the Savior? Because you remember who the Savior is. He's the Savior who says, right, I've come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Right? He's the one who came not for those who think they're well. Because there's where the voices come in. The voices come in okay. In order to really come to the Lord's table and feel good about it, I gotta have had a really good spiritual week. Right? And so we're tempted in that examination mindset to look back and think about brownie points, think about kind of the spiritual health meter. Okay, did I do enough this week that I can cross over from you're in trouble to, oh, you had a good week. Right? So how'd you do? Did you do enough? Did you pray enough? Did you read your Bible enough? Show up at church? Be nice to enough Christians? Oh, look, you made it in. Come. Or, no, you struggled, not today, not this week, not this month. That's what we might be tempted to do. And you see how that really is contrary to the whole nature of what the sacrament is. Because that's basically saying, how can I clean myself up so I'm good enough for Jesus? That's the opposite of what the sacrament is giving us. Because the sacrament is, you're not clean, but come, Jesus makes you clean. You're not righteous, but look, Christ died the righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. He's the Savior, and this is why I think it's helpful to think I'm giving my answers to these questions to the Savior. He's the one who says, yeah, those who are well, they don't need a physician. Right? Those who think that they can get themselves healthy, they don't need a doctor, right? Can't do much for those who think they're in good shape. He says, I've come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Now, this is the Savior who said and answered prayers of people who came with such mindset and such words as, have mercy on me, a sinner. Or, I believe, help my unbelief. Those are the kinds of prayers that Jesus answered. Those are the kind of people that Jesus welcomed. In fact, the ones who came with their spiritual brownie point list were the ones Jesus said, no, that person's not right with God. Right? So when we go to the Savior, we realize, ah, this is the one who's the physician for the sick. I'm sick. I need him. Then we're in the right mindset. Then we're coming in the right way. Because there is another person, another entity we could be tempted to give our answers to. See, there is an enemy of our souls, the Bible says. There is an evil one, and one of his names is Accuser of the Brethren. Accuser of the Brethren. You know, that's how Satan is referred to at one point in Scripture. In other words, part of what he is and does is make accusation against believers. Believers who are welcomed by Christ, but he makes accusation. And, of course, Satan can use all sorts of things. He's happy to use things out there to keep you from Jesus, but he's actually just as happy to use religious things to keep you from Jesus. And so, across the ages, one of the things that Satan has used is the Lord's Supper to keep people from Jesus. Yeah. And even this examination language. And it comes with that non-Jesus voice of, are you good enough? You sure you're good enough? Right? You really messed up this week. You've had to ask for forgiveness a few too many times. No, too much. Sorry. Right? So if you start thinking, am I giving my answers to the Savior or am I giving my answers to the accuser of the brethren? Right? If I'm giving them to Jesus, then I know this is the physician for the sick. This is the one who welcomes those looking for a rescuer. This is the one who doesn't welcome those who are perfect. He welcomes those who struggle, those who need him. As one theologian put it, talking about the Lord's Supper and the temptation of the evil one to disrupt us, he said, let us remember, this sacred feast is medicine for the sick, comfort to the sinner, bounty to the poor. So part of coming rightly is realizing, yeah, I'm sick. I need a physician. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm poor. I need one who made himself poor for me to make me rich in Christ. And that's the Jesus you find represented here. The Jesus who says, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Right? The examination, and I trust the examination questions, understood rightly, are not designed to keep sinners away, as if God wanted that, only wanted the elite. No, they're actually designed to see, okay, yeah, this actually isn't requiring much. It's just requiring I get the basics of the gospel and I'll cling to him. I'm turning from my sin, trying. I'm clinging to Christ as God gives me strength. I'm clinging to his body. Lord, help me more and more. And I'm looking to the Savior. So if that's you, the Savior says, come. Come and be refreshed. Well, let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the good news of the gospel, which is indeed medicine to the sick and comfort to the sinner. And we pray, Lord, even, Lord, this preaching of the gospel before us in pictures, in tangible elements, Lord, would be that very medicine and comfort and encouragement. Lord, we need it, and we're thankful that you are free to give it. And so we pray for your strength, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.